Hello and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Hey, we're so glad you've joined us. Today, we're continuing a powerful series called Radicalis, Developing Spiritual Roots. And in this series, Rick will show you how to grow deep in your faith, stay grounded in God's Word, and become everything He created you to be. All right, here's the final part of a message called Radical Joy.
The fifth reason that we can have joy no matter what happens in our lives. If I'm in Christ, God will meet all my needs. God has promised this. If I'm in Christ, God has promised to meet all my needs. So what do I have to worry about? And again, worry is a killjoy. The Bible says it like this in Romans 8, verse 32. Since God did not spare even his own son, that's Jesus, but gave him up for us all. Won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? You see the logic of that verse? If God loved you enough to come to earth and die on the cross for your sins, don't you think anything else you've got is small potatoes as a problem? When God solved your biggest problem and he came to earth to die for you, don't you think he cares then about your finances? Don't you think he cares about your relationships? Don't you think he cares about your health, about your job, your career? Yeah. Yeah, he cares about all that too. And that's a reason for joy. God says, I will meet all your needs. In fact, this is what he says in Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches. And here's the phrase, in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ. God has not promised to meet the needs of everybody in the world. No, he's promised to meet the needs of those in Christ Jesus. Now, he says, my God will meet all your needs. He doesn't say I'll meet all your greeds. God hadn't promised to give you a Rolls Royce or a mansion on a hilltop. God has said, I'll meet all your needs. What you need, I'll get to you. I haven't promised to make you, it's not the Midas touch, you get whatever you want. Or as Rick talked about, it's not like God's a genie. But he says, I'll meet all your needs. Now, most of us don't really understand this, so we don't pray for it. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 84:11. It says this, no good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. No good thing. You know, as a father, when my kids are growing up, I want to give them good things. I won't withhold anything good from them. I might withhold something bad from them, something that will harm them, something that will cause them to be stunted in their spiritual or physical or emotional growth. But I'm not going to withhold any good thing from them. If I can supply it as a dad, how much more does the Heavenly Father who's perfect say, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly, who are doing what is right. You see, God wants you to ask in prayer more than you do. God wants you to pray and get answers more than you do. God, over 20 times in the New Testament, God says, ask. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Over 20 times. God never shuts his storehouse until you shut your mouth. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. You don't ever ask for it. God's, you know, when you get to heaven, there's going to be a storehouse up there. And you're going to go inside the storehouse and there's going to be all these incredible gifts and neat experiences and things, and there's going to be a little tag on it, and every one of the tags is going to say the same thing. It's going to say this, never asked for. How many things have you never asked for from God? Now, why does God want you to ask in prayer? Why does he want you to ask, and then he can meet your needs? One reason, he wants you to be full of joy. That's the reason. He wants you to be full of joy. When my kids are full of joy, it makes me look good as a dad. When God's children are full of joy, it makes God look good. A sourpuss Christian is a bad advertisement for God. You know, some people go around and look like they're baptized in vinegar. You know? Got the, you know, just got a, been sucking on pickles or something. And God says, no, I want you to be full of joy. Look at this verse, John 16, 24. Ask, Jesus says, ask using my name and you will receive and you will have abundant joy. The reason for asking is joy. The reason you don't see miracles, you're not asking for them. God wants to do things in your life that you can't even imagine. Doyle, talk to me about a time in your life when you saw God meet a need in a miraculous way.
Well, it was back in 1980. I've been married all my life, pretty much, by the way. And I married my high school sweetheart, and we have four children. But back then, we only had two, Heidi and Holly. Heidi was four. Holly was two. So my wife met me at the door, and she says, good night, have fun, they're yours. And so we played till the middle of the night. And I'll never forget, it was too late. I mean, it was so late for a story, and so I just said a little poem prayer. And I felt bad, and Holly was asleep before amen, but Heidi was wide awake. And so I walked over to her little bed. I said, Heidi, was there something special you wanted to ask God for? Well, there's something I've always wanted, she said. I'd like to have a rose. And I said, well, why do you want a rose? She said, because they're so pretty, and I've always wanted one.
She's 4 years old, and her whole life she's wanted a rose, yeah.
And so anything to get her to go to sleep. So we asked God for a rose, you know, and I forgot about it. The next night at our little time, we started to pray. I told him a story, and she grabbed Holly's hand in mine, and she said, let's pray, Daddy. And I'll never forget, her little lips started to quiver, her hand was shaking, little tears flowing out her face. Yeah. I said, Heidi, what's wrong? How come God didn't bring my rose to me today? Do you think you forgot? And what do you say? You know, it was a God question. I said, well, you know, we didn't mention the color of that rose.
Oh, good answer. Good answer.
Pretty clever.
And so, by the way, here's a teaching truth. It is always easier for God to ask a more specific thing than a simple. When you say, God bless me, what's a blessing? Most of you wouldn't know if a blessing hit you in the face. God bless me. That's too vague. Be specific.
And so we asked God for a white one because that's what she was thinking about. And so I'll never forget that. I could hardly sleep, and I had to go out of town the next day. And I thought of calling a florist down the street or a friend, you know, plan B. We always think of plan B.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I had to go out of town that night. I didn't do any of that. I just went out of town. I played this concert. And it was a small church, and it had a little center aisle down the middle. And after my concert, I was putting my guitars away, and I hear a voice, are you Doyle Dykes? And it had been over for probably 30 minutes. No one had been in there. And she startled me, this little lady. And she said, God told me to bring you something from my garden today. And it was a little something wrapped in foil about this big, you know. And she handed it to me, and I could tell by the way she acted she was special. And I said, well, I'll enjoy eating this from your garden. She says, oh, I wouldn't eat that. She said, she said, you better...
What do you think, it was a carrot or something?
That's what I thought. You know, it's a guy thing. We always think of food.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so...
don't bring me flowers. Food.
She said, well, you better not eat that. She waited till I peeled the foil back, and there was one little white rose. And I'll never forget that.
Wow.
And I told her, I said, well, this isn't mine. She says, well, God told me to bring you that.
Oh.
And I told her the story of the rose, and she says, well, that's nice, and just turned and walked away. And I thought, I'm slack-jawed holding this little miracle.
Yeah.
And I thought, she'll float out of here. She'll never make it out the door. And when I got home, I'll never forget, Heidi ran out to my truck before I could even get out of my van seat, and I reach over and I gave her the little package. She says, he brung it, didn't he, Daddy?
Wow. Thank you, buddy. That's great. There's one more reason why we can be joyful no matter what happens in our lives. And it's the greatest one of all. The sixth reason, if I'm in Christ, the Bible says this, God will never stop loving me. God will never stop loving me. No matter what happens in my life, things go right, things go wrong, plans go awry, whatever, God will never stop loving me. I can count on it. The Bible says it like this in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, from His love. Death can't, life can't, Angels can't, demons can't, our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, even the powers of hell cannot keep God's love away. Whether we're high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is good news. When you come to Christ and you say, I'm going to put my hand in your hand, God grabs onto it. When you say, I'm going to trust you, I want to love you, I want to be the person you made me to be, God says, I'm holding on, and I'm holding on for dear life. When my kids were little and we used to go on summer vacations, we'd go camping. One time we went to the Grand Canyon, and we were walking up to the edge one time, and I grabbed the two youngest, Josh and Matthew's, hands, and I held on to them. And as we got up there, and of course, they wanted to get closer to the edge than I wanted them to get. Like you want to get closer to the edge a lot of times. And they both started squirming and squiggling and trying to shake hands free. And they wanted to let go of my hand, but there was no way I was letting go of theirs, because I was their father and I loved them. There will be times in your life when you want to let go of God's hands. God, I don't want to be a Christian right now. It's inconvenient. I don't want to do what the Bible says. I want to do it my way. I want to go have sex with that person. I want to go cheat on my income tax. I want to lie to that person so I can get out of that sticky situation. I want to do this. I want to do that. And there are going to be times you say, it's not popular. It's not convenient. It's too costly. I don't want to do the right thing right now. God, I don't, right now, I'll be back, but I don't want to be a believer in you right now. And you're going to want to let go. But he's never letting go of you. You see, once you put your hand in Christ's hands, it's out of your hands. This is called eternal security. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Now, if you earned your salvation by working for it, then the moment you stopped working for it, you'd lose it. But you didn't earn it, so you can't lose it. It was a gift, and once it's given and you put your hand, the Bible says even if we're unfaithful to him, he cannot be unfaithful to himself. And he holds on to us. And in John chapter 10, Jesus says, they are in my hands and no one can pluck them out. That's good news. That means no matter what happens, I'm still safe in the hands of God. And he will never, never stop loving me. I want to end with two verses, one for those of you who know the Lord and one for those of you who don't know him yet. Those of you who don't know Christ yet, you're never certain you've put your hand in Christ's hand. Maybe you've gone to church all your life, but you're not sure that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. You're not sure that you have trusted him for salvation completely. This is why you don't have continuous joy in your life. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, here on the screen, you will fill me with joy in your presence. And the more you spend time in the presence of God, the more you're going to be filled with joy. And nobody can rob that joy from me. And nobody can rob that joy from you without your permission. So put your hand in his hand. Those of you who know Christ, you've kind of drifted away. And you've stopped realizing how much you've been forgiven. You've stopped realizing you're on your way to heaven. You just take it for granted. You've stopped realizing that all things are working for good in your life and that God is for you, not against you, and that he's promised to meet all your needs and that he'll never stop loving you. You need to pray this prayer, Psalm 51:12. David prayed it, "Restore to me again the joy of salvation." Don't observe Christmas. Experience it. And how do you experience it? With the joy of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Would you follow me in this prayer? If you've never opened your life to Christ, or you're not certain, you're not settled about this issue, you're a little insecure about it, you need to settle it today. Receive God's gift. Pray this prayer. Dear God, I don't understand it all. but I thank you for loving me. And I want your joy in my life. I ask you to forgive all my sins and give me a clear conscience and help me to forgive myself. I ask you to give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you to work all things for good in my life. I thank you that you are for me, not against me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you've promised to meet all my needs. Thank you that you will never stop loving me. So today, as much as I know how, I open my life to you, Jesus Christ. I want to follow you. I want to trust you. I want to learn to love you for the rest of my life and then be with you forever. If you've already prayed that prayer in your heart and you know Christ, maybe you need to pray, Lord, restore the joy of my salvation. Help me to focus on these things, not my problems. That no matter what happens in my life, you're never going to stop loving me. And all these other benefits are true. Let me live in joy this month and this next decade. I pray it in your name. Amen. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
Wow, thank you so much, Pastor Rick, for that amazing message. Now, if you want to make your time in prayer the best it can be, then you're going to want to get a copy of the Daily Hope Prayer Journal. This year's theme, Connecting with Jesus, the Source of Living Water. It's going to help you tap into God's power and presence as you discover the keys to praying with passion and purpose. This hardcover journal is filled with inspiring Bible verses, photos, and artwork. It's a spiritual growth tool designed to help you enjoy a vibrant prayer life, connect with the Lord, and establish a consistent daily prayer time. As you use this journal, you'll be amazed at how faithful God is to answer your prayers. You'll be reminded every day how much God loves you and wants to be a part of your life. Be sure to request the Daily Hope Prayer Journal when you give a gift to help Daily Hope reach people around the world with the hope of Jesus. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It helps us share the hope of Christ with people all around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.